You sit in church week after week, embracing the truth of God's word. You believe the gospel and claim Jesus Christ as your Lord. Yet you continue to struggle with pornography. You feel like a hypocrite, returning to the sin you hate that mocks the God you love. You desperately wonder, is lasting freedom even possible? Yes, you can overcome pornography, but not alone. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Only by repeatedly running from sin to Christ with other believers can you hope to enjoy lasting freedom. You can live with purity and integrity. Take courage, seek accountability, and do whatever is necessary. Get equipped at accountabletoyou.com.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Cross Politics on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network.
That was a really long y'all.
Chuck Knox.
He's out of practice.
The water boy. Yeah. I'm not. That y'all just felt like it needed to go longer this time.
Okay.
I'm full of Holy Spirit right now.
I think you're kind of using that y'all in a sort of anti-Semitic way. Maybe an anti-Asian way.
Well, I feel very uncomfortable with it. I just want to say that right now.
Wait, hold on. You have to be here at least 5 minutes to feel uncomfortable.
Blink twice.
I don't know if I can take this already.
We got our friend in the studio, David Tran from Classical Conversations and Freedom Ship Institute.
Correct.
Freedom Ship Institute. I killed them both. But before we go anywhere. Uh-oh. Okay, we our boys from Mount Athos. You read the ad, not very well.
No, it's terrible ad read.
It's very bad.
Sorry, Mount
Athos. We need to owe them. We owe them a couple more ad reads. But they sent us some of their vitamins and stuff that some of their health.
They're grass fed organic
goat products.
Okay? Goat products. I'm sorry.
Goat products.
Again, this is you.
Oh,
this is you.
Oh, this is you. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
I love gifts.
Is
I don't
a
even.
Box okay. For each okay. Yeah.
What I got in the box.
Now you get to dig in. I'm sorry, David. You didn't get
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm like, where's mine?
No.
Nice.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I like this shirt.
That's a nice shirt. Yeah.
I like this shirt though. I got a hat.
But I'm gonna read it off. So these guys are great. I mean, like, they're good, solid Christian brothers, and they're kind of innovating in the goat farming world. Neil, our producer, sorry, he wants to own like a herd of goats, and the goats just follow him.
You know,
all over the place.
I actually saw him
envious.
Googling goats.
Yeah, this is not a joke. Time, yeah. People might be laughing right now, but it's not a joke. Sorry, our producer wants to own a herd of goats.
I keep laughing.
So
also, Neil's not married.
Oh yeah,
yet, but you could be
email
that lucky
us,
woman.
Contact at fightlaughfeast.com. if I will screen.
Yeah.
On behalf of Neil.
Candidates. If you were thinking that God is calling you to be the wife of a goat farmer.
Hey,
who's
laughing?
Our producer?
You're laughing, but she's out there like.
I found my soulmate.
Where has he been all my life?
I got
life?
Three goats right now.
So, yeah, she brings goats into the marriage.
Neil, you can marry a girl.
You know
already,
what?
Oh my
goat
goodness.
Milk is just going to show up here at the studio. This is for Neil.
This is from Neil. Yeah.
All right. So what was in this package is some mind capsules. You want to? What's the Sigma mind capsules? Okay.
Okay.
Pre-workout, Dunamai, pre-workout. Neil actually would probably know more about this stuff. But basically, give you the energy and strength
pre-workout
gets you going. Crease creatine. I think, and we're going to have the CEO on our show. Yeah, we're going to get him on because I got a bunch of questions actually about all this. I think everything is basically goat milk based or goat product based.
Wow.
So even the whey, even
none
the protein,
soy boy stuff.
Even
huh?
No. Yeah, even the whey, even the protein is goat goat milk based.
Goat
so
milk.
We'll clarify. We don't want to false advertise here, but and then protein that's the goat whey, prime recovery, and then some rest. Elysium. Elysium.
Premium supplement.
There we go.
Restore, relieve, and enhance. Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to have the CEO on actually to break this down more because I'm honestly just ignorant of this stuff. But he's a great Christian brother, and they're doing innovative, interesting work out of their stuff. So there
appreciate you
go.
Doing this. Yeah. Did you know that the Fight Laugh Feast University offers intense courses that will challenge and equip you as you engage culture for the glory of God? Right now, Introduction to Rhetoric with Dr. Michael Collender and Intro to 3D Design and Animation taught by 3Division. Okay, three division.
Yeah, that's our boy Lex.
Okay,
yeah.
Are available for you to sign up today. Head to fightlaughfeast.com/university. fightlaughfeast.com/university for more information and to register today.
And just one comment there. I had a dad email me yesterday and say, hey, my 13-year-old boy, I think he would love to take this course. It'd be good for him. He's very artistic, and I would like to actually learn. And he's like, is this good for him? Is this the kind of class for that? And it
absolutely
is that. So
we're grateful to have David Tran on with us. He was born in the inner city of Augusta, Georgia. He was just telling us.
Just off the golf course. Right. In fact, his mom and dad were golfing, and his mom had the baby on the golf course.
18th hole, huh? 18th hole.
Raised by a godly family named the Eubanks. You didn't say that a minute ago. Like, this is like a lot more like nice.
Hey,
tame.
Hey, yeah, I could go dive into it if you want me to.
David and his bride Jenny have been married for 10 years. Have 4 beautiful kids.
Baptized?
You mean infant baptism?
Yeah.
No.
No. All right. Awesome.
Okay. When I became a believer. I went from a Church of God to a Presbyterian church, though.
Okay. Well, we're getting closer.
Yeah. I am reformed. Okay. I am reformed.
The children's names are here. Banks, maybe named after
Eubanks, the people who raised me.
People who raised you. Mm-hmm. Lila. And Colby and Lincoln.
Yes.
Okay. You currently
named after Abe Lincoln?
Yes.
He currently serves as executive director of strategy at Classical Conversations. So, executive director of strategy.
Yep.
Classical Conversations. And you're also a board member at Freedomship Institute, which is a 501c4.
Which is more than three.
Advocacy group.
Correct.
That just is getting off the ground.
Just getting off the ground.
And Classical Conversations is partnering with Freedomship Institute.
We are.
In order to
fight for freedoms.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. And like all of them.
Mainly within parental rights and education.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we've got a lot of our freedoms under attack right now. But so given the necessity and the centrality of Christian education.
Correct.
And the duty that God's given parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of the centerpiece would be protecting parental rights and the right to provide Christian education to our kids.
Absolutely.
Okay. You said it's launching presently. You have an event coming up in a couple of weeks.
Correct.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah. So the first event that we have going on, which will be April 8th, is we are taking these tools of classical learning that we've been doing at CC for years, and we're actually going to apply it for a workshop with some local legislators in North Carolina.
Okay.
And so it's a full day clinic to be able to help them hone their skills in persuasive speech.
You know, I'm interested in the 501c4 concept. I'm looking into for cross politics starting a 501c3.
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Hey, man. You know. And then, but the whole 501c4 concept, like why not just focus on classical conversations? You know, because that's kind of like to me like the more root of the problem, right? And then, you know, why kind of venture off into the political side of the 501c4 process? Obviously, you're focused on North Carolina, right? This is not a national thing yet.
Well, we do have 5 strategic states that we're focusing in on that kind of we have team members there and we have the ability to help move policy along because they match a little more of our conservative viewpoints. The biggest reason why as a company we're taking it because the government's attacking us.
Okay. How so?
So especially through what we call ESAs. Have you guys heard of ESAs?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of people seem to love them.
Of course. Everyone loves free money, right? But we all know that free is not free.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Correct? There's always this little string.
Save for the people in the back, bro. Save for the people in the back. Come on
connected
now.
Connected to it, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, think about how government has overstepped their boundaries with the church. Mm-hmm. COVID was a great example of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now we're seeing it within education where the government wants to put their fingers into homeschooling by calling it ESAs. And it's supposed to help families, but in the long run, it doesn't.
Work that out for me. Yeah, I'm intrigued.
How so? Yeah. So ESAs, education savings accounts, is sort of that's the acronym. And there's
a savings accounts are biblical. It's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Okay.
Thank you, Bernie. There's a number of different forms these take, but ESA is kind of, you know, or education choice.
Mm-hmm. Education choice.
I mean, this is sort of the banner that it's going under. How are you seeing this? How are the strings attached? How is the government getting into our homes through these?
Well, so let me give you a couple examples. Up in Alaska, there's a voucher system. Well, they just started allowing the government to start doing home visits. Mm. Okay, so now you're inviting the government into your household.
Oh,
so we're starting to see that.
Like required home visits?
Required.
So if you're taking a voucher money, the government school representatives can come in and check in on you.
And we had there's a story of someone like being excited about them coming in saying, oh, they care.
Yeah. And oh, they care.
We know how that works, right?
They ain't wrong about that.
The words that Reagan said that you never want to hear.
Words from the government.
We're here to help.
Yeah. And it's only a matter of time. So let's take Arizona, for instance. In Arizona, you're getting around $7,000 per kid to do ESAs.
Right.
But then you raise the question, where is that money coming from?
Right.
And it's only going to be a matter of time when they put
your neighbor
stipulations and, right, you're taking money
from your neighbor.
From your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right. I think it got initially started off of the cash cow of COVID money.
Correct.
Which, of course, is still taking money from our grandkids.
Your neighbor.
Our neighbors. Yeah.
Think about Social Security.
Right. It's still stolen money, but Arizona had this massive surplus. And that's why Arizona has become sort of this, poster child for the ESA moment. Because they're like, look how much money we have. But I think there's an illusion based on the so-called COVID cash cow.
Yeah. And give me an example of when the government's gotten involved with where it's gotten better for people.
The post office. Just
give me an example.
DMV.
Someone give me an example right now.
Keep going.
What is it that they are doing when they go into these people's home? If the government comes into your home and take the ESA money, which is really weird, you would have think conservatives would be like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. But conservatives are pushing ESAs like nobody's business.
And obviously that's in Alaska, right?
Yeah, right. Granted.
And again, ESAs have been around for years. It's just now the conservative side has picked it up and made it kind of like their flag.
Right.
Right, their flag. But
wow.
One of the things that COVID did, though, was, in a helpful way, when all the, everything went online. Yeah.
The parents started seeing the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, the weakness of the actual so-called education that's happening in public schools was exposed. The corruption of the government schools was exposed. You have all the sexual perversion and the drag queen stuff and all the, people calling their kids by some other name or pronoun or whatever, letting them dress up like girls and, whatever. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of that got exposed and a whole bunch of people were like pulled out and homeschooling. You guys have probably seen a massive explosion in growth since COVID.
We've seen growth. It's a little unique for us because our model is built around a community.
Right.
And you're a corporate partner of Cross Politics. So it's just, you're growing.
Cross Politics, baby. Yeah, absolutely. But homeschooling as a whole in America has boomed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And it's really cool to see because parents' eyes were opened when all these kids came home and they realized what was going on in the public school system. Right.
The problem though is that for some of them, they haven't connected all the dots.
They haven't.
Like, so that same entity that's pumping money into those brick and mortar institutions that you came to say, like, you're doing what with my kids? Well, you can't just take the money from the same entity and then not end up in the same place long term.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen this specifically. We've noted this a number of times, but our Canadian friends have particularly seen this. Like they have had government funded private schools for decades.
Yep.
And the private schools are no different.
They're not.
Than the government schools, the public schools, because they've taken the money.
Correct.
Oh, so I want to talk more about the 50C3 plus
501.
Let me finish.
Okay.
501C3 plus 1, which equals?
Four.
Okay.
Four.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm glad you can count.
Thank you.
You just got white-splained real quick.
White splaining on me. So you mentioned two things that you guys are established for, which is to secure parental rights, right? That's one of the things. And then help secure education, the freedom of education.
The freedom of education.
So then what is it that is under attack on parental rights? Because that's kind of a broad conversation right now, and everybody's using that, even on the other side, opposite side. So what is it that you guys are looking to say, federal government is encroaching on this area outside of the fact that we're letting them in. I mean, it kind of feels like the vampire thing. You guys know how vampires, they can't come to your house unless you invite them in. And here we are like, hey, you're welcome.
But, well, as CC, we want parents to be able to always have the right to make any decisions they want for their kids. And I mean, think about the thing that happened.
But parents aren't that smart. I mean, you shouldn't leave that.
That's a pretty open ended.
Yeah, it is. I agree. But think about California, about the dad who pretty much told his wife, hey, our son is a boy.
Yeah.
And through that one text message, what happened to him?
He lost his rights.
He lost his rights.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
The mother fought it all the way to the courts and he lost.
Only one parent lost their rights in that case.
Well, one parent lost their mind.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
And it's only a matter of time, right? It, when you think about how teachers can, within the public school system, not communicate that your kid is transitioning.
Yeah.
And there's all these examples that are starting to come up that as a parent, I'm like,
that's legal in Washington, Oregon. I believe in both states, maybe
I know one for sure Washington
have laws. I pretty much protect teachers. They don't have to tell parents about kids in their classes that are transitioning.
I mean, well, and it's even worse than that. If your kid wants to transition in the state of Washington and parents are against it, the state can step in.
Right.
Yep. They can step in.
They can step in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, social workers have legal protections to basically say we're protecting this child from these abusive parents who want them to remain the...
And the social worker wants to mutilate the boy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to let you... if you're having school problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. Public school ain't one. So I don't really... It ain't really hit me in the same way.
Yeah, you aren't sending your kids to school.
Well, look at it. Now, if parents are starting to take government money from ESAs, it's only a matter of time before the government starts dictating what you do, what you can teach your kids. I mean, the worst case scenario is now they're saying, oh, you know what? We come into your house. We do a home visit. This is speculative. We see a Bible beside your math curriculum. Oh, well, you can't have any religious affiliation with your education whatsoever.
Because we're paying for it.
Yeah. Because we're paying for it. We're giving you money for it.
Yeah.
Why not fight for this? I mean, it's
So how does the 501c4... connect the dots for me and how it applies to this conversation.
Yep. So a C4 allows us to have unlimited lobbying items. So we can go talk to legislators. We can support certain legislators that support the freedoms that we would want them to support. Mm-hmm. We can donate money to their campaigns. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more.
Whereas a 501c3 can't do any of that stuff.
They can do some, but it's very limited.
Yeah.
Are we at that point right now, I guess? I mean, I guess we are where that's...
Well, I mean, we were talking about this actually earlier part of the show. I mean, like there are certain things. So one comeback would, I don't remember, there's a law that was passed recently and the Supreme Court has been consistently upholding it right now. That
sorry, that came out of nowhere. I didn't mean to be rude. Nah, stop it. It just happened.
That says that government funding can be used even in religious context, the funding they've ruled that it's not a it's not a breach of the First Amendment. So that's a recent law that's been upheld, and the I'm blanking on the name of it, but it's been upheld a few times.
Where's that?
Supreme Court. It's a federal law. So and it's been appealed a couple of times, and there've been a couple different private schools have been able to they're taking some kind of form of government funding.
So they're testing it.
And it's been tested. But do that sound again? Yeah. But that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So I mean that's the thing. It's like I don't even say so that's the comeback. Some people will say, well, they're not going to do that. They can't do that because the Supreme Court has ruled. Yeah.
We need to
think. I need that on the button.
But that's the thing. It's like, yeah, but if that's the standard, the Supreme Court's the standard. Well, we all know how long
flip flop.
We also have Supreme Court justices currently on the bench who don't know what a woman is.
Right. It's above her pay grade.
Sorry.
Yeah. So she's not a biologist. So you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So that's one of the comebacks. The other thing I was going to say though is that we were talking before the show is, everything. The left is weaponizing everything. I mean, the FBI has raided pro-lifers' houses at gunpoint.
Yep.
And
they ain't discriminating either.
But you were mentioning a Tuck interview.
P. Diddy got raided by the FBI. Probably for good reason.
One of these things is not like the other.
Stay out of that.
Although it's probably still entirely political. There's probably something political going on.
Tucker was speaking to a black nationalist on his show and and they were basically going through the same thing. The FBI came through, covered up their cameras, raided their environment, flashbang grenades in there and arrested people. I mean, it was insane. They had it recorded, duct taped the cameras so they couldn't see all they were looking for files, and they treated them the exact same way that they're treating the pro-life folks in the same sense. And so they're not discriminating. There's something about the freedom of speech or the challenge of the federal government that they don't like.
Right.
And so they're coming after kind of everybody
So even though black nationalists would hold the certain things that we would really strongly disagree with, we both have a common enemy, though, in the sense that the federal government, they're weaponizing their power against anything that they see as getting in the way of their authority, their power, ultimately. And if you don't think they're going to do that with education, like, you know, you're nuts.
Go ahead. I'll let you speak, Dave.
Oh, no, I'm completely agreeing with what you guys are saying, because ultimately it's a generational war. Everything that we're doing now is going to affect our kids 10 to 20 years down the road.
That's right.
So think about the whole abortion movement that we're currently dealing with, right? The fact that now you can go across states and California has become that state that's pro-abortion, right?
Yeah, yeah. Murder tourism.
A sanctuary state.
Murder tourism.
That's right.
Well, as time progresses on, yes, the liberals are not having more kids, right? Or there's all these things that are happening from a birth rate standpoint from their side. And of course, we're seeing that conservatives and Christians are having more kids, but who's going to be influencing those kids 10 to 20 years down the road? It's going to be government. It's going to be, you know, Robert, our CEO was talking about, we send them to government schools, public schools, universities. Mm-hmm. And so as Christians, what do we do now to equip the next generation to know God and to make him known?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we were talking about that this morning at breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. It's like, as CC, we want to take that fight for our grandkids' ability to have freedom.
The mission of Armored Republic is to honor Christ by equipping free men with tools of liberty necessary to preserve God-given rights. In the Armored Republic, there's no king but Christ. We are free craftsmen. Body armor is a tool of liberty. We create tools of liberty. Free men must remain ever vigilant against tyranny wherever it appears. God has given us the tools of liberty needed to defend those rights he's bestowed upon us. Armored Republic is honored to offer you those tools. Visit them today at AR500armor.com. That's AR500armor.com.
So if I'm listening to this and I'm hearing about this 501c4 that you guys are partnering with, what is it that, how do you recruit me? Bring me in so that I can come in and support. Why do I need to join? Because there's all sorts of people who are Christians out there who are lobbying the government and they're, what makes you guys unique and why I need to be a part of it?
Yeah, so what makes us unique is we say we want to educate and equip people to think in a way that supports freedom. Because what's happening is, I think about young family, like I think, you know what, I'll think about me being raised up in a public school system. And the education that I got, my best education was just on culture.
Okay.
I mean, I was a crazy man in high school where I did drugs, rock and roll, like did the whole thing. But my education came from my peers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no Christ-centered worldview. Right. So when people think of education, they only think of books, but there is this culture education that happens within public school systems.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's even private school systems, right?
Right.
That's right. They all got their own cultures.
Exactly. Yep. There's a culture education that happens. So as time progresses on, think about the baby boomers' education versus the Generation Y now, and think about how they communicate to each other, or think about even like kids now, the depression rate that they have because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the fact that they're not actually thinking for themselves anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's this culture of followers. and not thinkers.
Yep.
So at CC, that's the whole thing. Like we're developing humans.
Yeah.
As classical conversations. So let's take that and the way we use our classical Christian model and apply it with an organization like Freedomship Institute that wants to help people think about the long-term effects of what we're doing now.
What's the website?
So you got, hang on real quick. You got an event in a couple of weeks where you're meeting with legislators. And is that, it's going to be some of these kind of events where you're actually going to meet with legislators and how are you going to teach them how to think? Because I think that's the hardest group to teach how to think.
It is. Well, the first event that we're starting is we're going to help them with their persuasive speech.
Okay.
Like, hey, let's use the classical models of what we've been doing for years.
Yeah.
And equip them. And as time progresses on, build relationships with them and help them think about subjects such as this. Think about it. Even the conservative side, the Republican side is calling it universal education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
School choice, universal school choice.
Yeah.
Universal.
Yeah. I know.
Right.
Let's think about that for a second.
Insane.
Whenever has government used the word universal has ever helped people?
And it's not meant socialism. Right. I mean,
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And so the goal is to build relationships and help these leaders of our government, right. You know, besides as an organization that's praying for them, but how can we use these classical tools of learning that we've been using for years to help them think?
To be persuasive. And what states are you focusing on?
North Carolina.
Yep.
Texas. Prompt Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And Iowa.
Oh, that's four.
Four. Okay. Did I say North Carolina?
Yeah. Is there five?
Yeah.
Or is it four?
Well, there's four.
What made you pick those four?
Just because of our influence that we have there and the team members that we have there.
Mm. Idaho could be number five. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
Hey, talk to us. Hey, you know, I think of the young people, you're just talking about that culture. And, you know, and obviously for a long time, the culture that a lot of Christian parents were concerned about was the drugs and sex and rock and roll, you know, sort of that kind of just.
Not the curriculum.
Normal, immoral culture, right? Which is a problem.
Yeah.
And it was certainly something to be concerned about. But there's that still. But now add on to that. Mm-hmm. I think basically that was all the hors d'oeuvres. That was all the pre-meal.
That wasn't the main meal. Wow.
That wasn't even the main meal. The main meal was transgenderism, mm-hmm. the woke-ism, mm-hmm. and statism. Like, I mean, ultimately, you know, trust the experts, trust the state and socialism. Like that's the end goal. Mm-hmm. And it's always, the commies have done this. I mean, for years and years, they start with porn and drugs. I mean, drugs and porn are the gateway drugs, not just to the hard drugs,
mm-hmm.
but to complete dependence on the government. To care for you. And so, and the thing I was thinking of was in my head, like the new, in my generation, in Generation X or whatever, like, you know, it was like the sign that you were kind of getting co-opted by the culture was, you know, probably, the kind of looking grunge or goth or whatever, like, you know, the tats and the piercings or whatever, like you're pushing back or whatever. But it's striking to me how many young people have continued wearing masks.
Yeah. Yep.
Like it's the new tattoo, or they are pansexual in some way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they have pronouns, they're gender non-binary or that's the new tattoo. Yeah. That's the new, exotic piercing. That's the new pink hair.
Baptism.
Exactly. It's the new baptism. Yeah. It's like, and it's highly connected to, our friends, Dr. McCullough and Dr. Bhattacharya and some of our other, and Dr. Cole, during the whole COVID, thing, talked about this whole like sort of, what's the phrase they use? That like the mass psychosis?
Yeah, it's mass hysterical, psychosis, yeah. That's
But it's like, you know, particularly lit on fire by social media. Mm-hmm. And so like, and the generation that is most connected to social media is frequently the younger generation, and they're all hooked up. They got their TikTok accounts, they got the, you know, whatever, the Instagram, and they're just, and it's just like without parental safeguards and shepherding and care, it's like you've, you know, why, that's what's taking over. And so I think that's huge. People need to connect the dots. So like the end goal is statism. And so when the Dracula or the vampire is about
vampire.
Yeah. Comes knocking on your door and says, "Hey, I've got this amazing apple." Right. Like, do you know the old stories? Like, do you know, right. Don't invite him in. Don't invite him in. And when he says, "Hey, free money from the government," everything about you needs to be.
Well, nervous. And it's a tactic for worship. So what's happening is it's like, when you're constantly giving something for free,
yeah.
Like who are you going to worship?
Yeah,
it's grace. When the grace comes,
yeah.
When the grace comes,
yeah. Right? Who gives grace? Yeah. You worship that person.
Yeah, yeah.
And as time progresses on, and I think Jesus did a phenomenal job in the Bible of fulfilling needs, physical needs,
yeah.
Emotional needs. Like it's a great example of when you fill needs of somebody. As time progresses on, they build this worship of this entity that's not God.
Yeah.
If you really think about it.
Yeah.
And then it's a misshift of true worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have this false worship of the government or whatever it is. I mean, and here's the thing. We're sinful creatures. And that's why in certain ways we still have to give grace to both sides. Because at the end of the day, it's truly a worship issue of like, who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping the one true God? Or are you worshiping the world?
Yeah, it is.
That's really good.
Tell everybody the website where they can go check out more information.
Yeah. So the website will be up hopefully by the summer, and it's freedomship.institute.
Freedomship.institute.
Can they follow you on Twitter? Or where's a good place for them to kind of follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram.
And is your name?
Augusta Golf Course.
No, it's
Hole 18.
Yeah, so it's David Tran TV on both.
Okay. David Tran TV.
Yep. All right. TV. Hey, David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate your work.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
All
right. Hey, if you're single, get married. If you're married, have you some kids. If you have kids, David, go baptize them. Until next time, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Go fight, laugh,
man.
Feast. This is Cross Pot. We can help you with that.
No, I'm glad salvation belongs to God.
It does. That's why you baptize your kids.
God commands us to let his word dwell in us richly in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're to worship him musically. We're to proclaim his word musically. And so we want to train up our students, our children, to be able to sing skillfully with music, to understand what they're doing. The Bible says sing with understanding. But it's all couched in studying God's word, growing up as Christian worshipers. Sometimes I know people are a little scared of music camp because maybe they're not a musical family, but it's for everybody. It's a mix of real beginners and more advanced students, and they help one another that way.
But the thing that really gives it weight and glory is that the whole week is focused towards a concert, a glorious presentation of the music we've been working on all week long. So there's this goal in mind. There's something that the students not just participate in, but actively create.
I'll see students who come in who have had no musical experience. You can tell they're overwhelmed by first day. They're just awed by it because they've been part of something that is new to them and much larger than them, something they've not experienced before. And I would say the majority of times, those kinds of students come back because they've tasted something that's really glorious, a foretaste of heaven.
These students are learning through the course of their time at music camp not to be music consumers, but to be active participants in making music. So not only to learn how to sing well, how to understand music as it's written on a page, and how it comes together in a group environment, but to be able to take those experiences and have them be the seeds that are planted for their involvement, their whole life, in the musical life of the church. We want these students to be the next wave of worshipers in the church who know how to sing to God.